I hear the sound of your voice. Better than the riches of this world, and better than the sound of my friends' voices, better than the biggest dreams in my heart, and that's just the start. Better than getting what I say I need, better than living the life that I want to, better than the love anyone could give.
Good morning, everyone. How you guys doing? All right, so in case you weren't aware, Jack is out this Sunday. Where's he at, in Vermont? Skiing or something like that? I don't know. So keep him in prayer he doesn't fall and break something. But so today is what? Super Bowl what? Anybody Denver fan? Panthers? That's a hard time to believe that's a football team. Because, you know, when I grew up, that wasn't, I don't know. Huh?
Mike.
Oh yeah, exactly. So today we're blessed to have Mike Brandon here. You guys have been around Haven for a while. You've heard him preach before, so he's very gifted and part of our family here at Haven Church. So he's also runs the Paris Foundation. So if you guys have served with him, it's an awesome thing to get involved with. So I don't know. I mean, so today I kind of feel like God is kind of telling me that there's a lot of folks here today that are kind of, you know, gone through life and, you know, just kind of struggling with certain things. And I just feel like, you know, this is a place of It's not a place to hide things. It's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of redemption. It's a place to meet with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's just open up prayer. Lord God, you know, we want to invite you into this house. We want to invite you in. We want you to open our hearts and seek our hearts as we seek yours, Lord. We want to hear today's message. We want to know that you're here with us, Lord. We want to know that you hear our concerns. You hear our cry, Lord. You hear that we just want to seek you out and know you're in our life and helping us get through these situations, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and let's worship together. And a child shall lead them. You are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace. You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, you have death has lost its sting.
Put your hands together.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Because he lives.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Somebody pick the prayers up for me and bring them up. Thank you.
Okay, you guys can have a seat. Good morning. It's so good to see you all. I just want to go over a few announcements. First of all, let me welcome any visitors that are here today. We're always pleased to have you, and we know you're not here by accident. So if you are visiting with us, please stop out here. We've got a small gift for you, and we hope you enjoy the service. Inside your bulletin are some announcements, and I'll just quickly highlight a few. The Haven 101 class that was supposed to be after church today is going to be canceled. With Jack being gone, we're postponing that until the 21st, so mark your calendars for that. Please come and join us. This Wednesday, Judy, we have all women, Dining for Women Mardi Gras party, so bring your beads, and Judy has... Yeah, if anybody has any questions, see Judy right here. But it's always a fun time, so please do that. You can see some notes about the next youth event. We're coming up close on our rotating shelter, and the youth will be serving there. So if you get a chance and want to participate in that, that would be a terrific thing. You can see the notes. Also, people who are in Sunday school or have been involved in the past with VBS, there's a meeting on February 28th. You can see that and some additional youth events. Our rotating shelter week is coming very close, so it's February 22nd to 29th. Time is really flying by. We need help of all kinds, and if you signed up to bring some supplies, they're due next week, the 14th, so you can bring those and drop them off in the lounge, and we should be good to go, okay? So see Joanne or Debbie after service. They'll be out here, okay? So there's Joanne right there, and there's Debbie right there. So if you have any questions, see them. Okay, and one last thing. I guess we got sign-up sheets. Good. Okay, if you have not yet signed up for our Lenten study, 1 month to live, you have the opportunity to sign up today. It starts on the 14th. So next Sunday will be the first week we have the sermon tied in with it. Runs for 6 weeks. You can see the details. You can sign up here today. There are sheets in each section. If you can start passing those around, that would be great. But you can also sign online. And I put the link in the bulletin as well. And we have a short message about that right now.
All right, everybody. Hey, good mics with you this week. But I want you to remember, next week we're starting our new series called 1 Month to Live. And you can see I'm out here skiing right now. And if I don't kill myself this week on this, I will join you for 1 month to live. So make sure you sign up, and it'll be a great day. Have a great week.
How's everybody doing today? Come on, how's everybody doing? All right, there we go. All right, I wasn't going to say anything about this in church, but I said something to Jill about it earlier, because usually when I talk about God, I start getting all teared up and crying and stuff. But since I'm get to do prayer time today, since Jack's not here, I want to say something about it. I've been doing a lot of working out lately, and I'd injured my shoulder. And in the process of doing a stupid amount of exercising, I had shredded some tendons in there, I think. I'd gotten to the point where I couldn't lift my arm up past a few positions. Anyhow, because of something I had to do at work, I work on boats for a living, for those of you who don't know. I had to paint a boat this week, and I couldn't actually, I had to come back in after hours, and I'm sitting there in front of him, and I didn't know how I was going to be able to actually do it because I couldn't lift my arm up far enough to be able to get the roller in my hand and push on the boat to be able to do it. And from what Jack had said a few weeks ago about, doing our little, our Instagrams to God, and talking, I've been trying to do that more and sitting there and, just a little notes back and forth and actually being more in a communication with them. But I sit there, I was like, God? I was like, I've got to get this job done tonight. I'm in here after hours, time away from family. It's like, If faith can move mountains, tonight's the night. Let's see a little bit of miracle heal. So let's have at it. And I kept pushing him and pushing him. I know it's small, and there's a lot of people, with worse problems, but I kept begging them, and I felt the strangest burning and a weird, swelling feeling in my arm. 5 minutes later, I had full movement in my shoulder and no pain. So, miracles happen if you believe. And the next day I was back in the gym working out, seeing if I could destroy it again. So, God's probably up there going, oh, test me, boy, test me. All right, anyhow, okay, prayer time. That's Tina Rhodes wrote this for friend Wanda, who is having hip replacement on Friday. This is from Damien. For all of my friends and family members who are going through medical issues. Donna wrote this. Heather for upcoming surgery on Tuesday. This is from Donna also. Helen recovering from surgery. Mike Stecker. Need prayers too for, Dieterman? Future path. Okay. Determined. Sorry. There we go. I read these in wrong order. Mike Stecker. Todd Forrest, cancer going to doctor on Monday to determine treatment. Need prayers to determine future path. There we go. Helps if I read them in the right order. Sorry about that. From Rebecca Stecker. Nephew with addiction issues and cousin's son also with addiction issues. Let's please lift all those up in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we ask your blessings upon us today. I ask that you just take all those that I've read and those that we hold in our hearts. And you know those that our needs, our wants. We lift those up to you today, Lord. Just as I said, your healing hands, no matter how small, they work. As long as our faith is strong and true, just help us believe, because that's what really counts, is our true belief in you, that it can work. Lord, just keep our faith strong for you, and just guide us in our path, that we can just lift those up around us, those that are wavering in that faith and that need the strength from you, Lord. Lord, we know that you can lift us up. Whether you need to lift us up or those that around us, that you need us to help carry those around us, Lord. Your strength is never ending. Lord, just help us every day in every way. We ask this in your blessed name. Amen.
Just let my peace come and fill.
Be still. Be still.
Be still.
Today's scripture readings come from Proverbs and James. Proverbs 16:32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. And from James 5:7-11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Welcome back to the Research Labs of Better. Why is it hard to be patient?
Because you want to do fun things, and then you have to do something bad and a snap phone, like take out the garbage, like I usually have to.
Some things are so excited they can't really wait for them very long. I can only wait like 2 minutes for something to happen. Then I'm just, after that, I'm just so impatient that I can't stand it any longer.
I don't necessarily like being patient, but when I know I have to, I do.
If you weren't patient, then like you would just say, I want it done right now. No, Mom, I want dinner right now or else. So it would kind of turn into a bossy world.
When life hands you choices, choose better.
How about that? I think we can just wrap things up right now in prayer. Amen. Children, if you haven't already left for Sunday school, you may do so at this time. Any of the adults slipping out? Well, it's good to be back. Good to see so many familiar and friendly faces. That's always a good combination when familiar and friendly match up. Amen. I said to the worship team, I said, well, if my preaching won't keep them awake this morning, maybe my shirt will. My son gave me this for Christmas, so, like, and he's a 20-something, so I guess you get the whole bright colors and checks thing. We used to make fun of people that dressed like this when I was a kid, but you still do? Be patient with me. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Proverbs 16:32. Anybody here ever get impatient? This is going to be full contact today, okay? There are no spectators. You are in the arena. We are in this together. Some of my favorites, and you'll be thinking of yours, I'm sure. The checkout line at Walmart in the express line, 10 items or less, and she's got 23 items one by one by one. It's one of my favorites. How about that driver that was in the left lane today going 5 miles under the speed limit and you were trying to get here on time? Is that another one? Sure. I'm sure nobody here has ever done this. You've never pushed the button on the elevator more than once while you were waiting for it, right? Yeah, I used to do a lot of hospital visitation as a pastor, and yeah, I'm a button pusher, just saying. Of course, the one that is closest and dearest to my heart is waiting for the coffee to brew in the morning. It's just never soon enough. Even at 5 o'clock this morning, it wasn't soon enough, and I'm a night bird. So the Lord really must wanted me to be here on time today because he woke me up at 5 in the morning, and I got my coffee, and it's all good. It's all good. But, you know, being impatient is one of those sort of natural reactions to those kinds of situations and circumstances that I mentioned, and I'm sure you could have many others. One of the places that I never have to wait is at the bank. We have great bank tellers at our bank, at Columbia Bank, and whether it's the drive-thru or the walk-in, and it's such a blessing and a reprieve because every place else I go, I've got to wait. It's only natural, but do we have to settle for natural? As believers in Jesus Christ, as children of God, don't we have something better to draw upon? The supernatural, the Spirit of God that dwells within us as believers. We don't have to settle for the natural. We don't have to settle for being just like everyone else. It doesn't come naturally, but it does come, patience that is, supernaturally. Would you join me as we have a word of prayer before we delve into the scriptures today, this morning? Father, it's just so good to be in your house on this day that you've set aside for us and with this wonderful group of believers. And I thank you for the encouragement that each one is and always is when we're here. And we do pray for Pastor Jack and his family, Lord, that you'll revive and renew and refresh them as they're away and bring them back safely that they might stand in this place and lead this flock for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Why is patience better? Why is patience better than our natural impatience? I mean, that's the opposite side. That's the flip side. Impatience is really just a form of selfishness, isn't it? Why is patience better than our natural impatience? Well, first and foremost, a patient person can help heal broken relationships. If you're following along with the outline the pastor has left for us, that first blank, a patient person can help heal broken relationships. Proverbs 15:18 in your bulletin, in your program says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Think about that for just a moment. A patient man calms a quarrel. I think of Joseph in the Bible. Here's young Joseph spouting off, and his brothers conspire against him, sell him into slavery, and he lives years and years under this oppressive situation. Then on top of that, he ends up in jail, falsely accused. And what does he do? He waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits. And then in due time, God raises him up, lifts him out of that situation, not only relieves his suffering, but then elevates him and puts him in a position of great authority and responsibility. But it wasn't for his sort of a payback for Joseph having suffered. It was for a much larger purpose, and it was to put Joseph in a position to be a blessing to the very ones who had sold him into slavery, had betrayed him, his own family. He then became their deliverer. It's a marvelous story. In Genesis, it's a marvelous story. But it highlights for us that as we learn patience, we begin to get in touch with the heart of God toward others. Because impatience is all about us, isn't it? I want it. The kids pointed out, if you don't believe there's a sin nature, go work in the nursery. Right? You know, we are born with that. We don't have to learn to be ornery. And the same thing with patience. But God has a plan. And And we're going to see in just a moment that unless we give him time to work that plan out, we shorten his arms, so to speak. But a patient person can help heal broken relationships. Joseph's patience allowed for healing that God had intended all along and that God blessed in a powerful, powerful way. I think of some of the situations that we encounter at the Paris Foundation. The folks that many of you serve when you come to the Paris Foundation can be difficult at times. Let's be honest. Patience isn't normally one of the principal virtues of folks at the Paris Foundation. Many of these folks come early. They're waiting outside at 4:30 when we open the doors. They rush inside. They access the resources that we have for them. They know at 5 o'clock they're going to be eating dinner. And once we start, after we pray and make our announcements, remind folks that they're in God's house, and we say to them, listen, this is church, so respect the Lord, each other, and yourself while you're here. That's a big enough challenge to begin with. But then to ask them to wait patiently, some of these folks are used to being in survival mode, of elbowing their way to the front for fear that whatever it is they want or need won't be available when it comes their turn. And you know what? Sadly, that's often the reality for many of them. Some of us don't live like that, and we forget there are others who, when they're in survival mode, that's what they're thinking about. You know, we're trained up, many of us, to be polite, to make way for others, to step aside for others. But when it seems to you at that very moment that your life, that your well-being, that your survival depends on being first in line, you're going to do everything you can to become first in line. And that can appear to be very rude to folks. Every once in a while, someone will come through the line and they'll make a comment and one of our volunteers will get offended. Oh me, oh my. Understand, there's a reason that those folks are standing there in front of you in that line. And it's probably because of a very difficult circumstance or situation, one piled on top of another. Folks don't just show up at the Paris Foundation or end up in the rotating shelter because things are hunky-dory. They're there because times are tough. Their lives are difficult. Now, the naysayer says, well, you know, these folks here are, you know, they've made bad decisions and, you know, they've got to be held accountable. I get that part of it. I get that part of it. But those of you who serve, you have a heart and an understanding and a spirit that understands that there but for the grace of God go I. Can I get an amen? I'm just a little bit Baptist-costal today. And I know y'all are Methodist, but you got to roll with me today because I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Just seeing the Spirit of God at work already in the service today is an awesome thing. But the folks that come to us are learning patience just by being able to sit at a table and wait for their number to be called. That's why we did that. We're trying to teach them those things that we believe God would have us all to do. We then have to model that for them, don't we? Now, it falls to me when I'm there to announce the meal, to call the table, sort of supervise things. And I get a little impatient sometimes. Yes, even I. When we start moving the line and one of two things happens. Either the volunteers decide to engage in sharing life stories with every person coming through the line. That kind of slows things down. I've got 100 people. They're hungry. They've been sitting here for a half hour. Some haven't eaten at all today. Conversation comes later. We encourage folks, come around the other side of the counter, visit, fellowship with folks. But when all those folks are standing there in line, yeah, they're going to get impatient. So please move things along that way. I try to be gentle about it, and whoever's coordinating, I'll kind of get their attention and go, you know, speed it up, move it up, come on, let's go. The other thing that happens is we announce what's on the menu. You have a choice of chicken or beef, rice or potatoes, Italian or ranch on your salad. That's pretty straightforward. Three things, three choices. And we'll say, when you get up there, please be ready to make your choice because We want to keep the line moving because there's a lot of hungry people behind you. And invariably, somebody comes in and it's, can I have both? Or, are there mushrooms in that? Yeah, I'll take, well, no, I really don't want, and, well, and you're just standing there, you're going, really? Really? And then I'm reminded that I serve a God who has been infinitely patient with me. And I have been backtracking and changing my mind and starting up and starting back and through my whole life. And what I just realized is that in 3 weeks, a little less than 3 weeks, I'll have a birthday. 4 months after that, I will have my spiritual birthday when I was saved, and I will finally hit the halfway mark. I was lost in my sin for 32 years. Come this June, I'll be walking with Jesus for 32. Bada bing, bada boom. Just hitting the halfway mark. I'm just getting started now. Now the good stuff really happens. And I understand that's because God's been patient with me. Scripture says in Proverbs 25:15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the story back in the Old Testament. In the fiery furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't worship my idol, you go into the furnace. They say, you can do what you want, but we're not going to worship idols. We worship the living God. Threw them in the fire, and God preserved them, protect them, brought them out. And by their patience, by their just submitting themselves to that circumstance and situation, not calling their lawyer to file an appeal, but saying, you do what you got to do, but my God is able. And he was, and he did. And he'll heal your shoulder because he's able. He'll heal that wound in your heart because he's able. He'll protect you from the fire because he's able, if that's his will, and you'll wait on him. And what happened? They came out of that fire, and the words of that same king who had condemned them to that fiery death, he thought, were, oh, praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No other God could do what this God has done. And his decree was that all should honor the true living God. A patient person. A patient person can impact those in authority over us. But truly, a patient person gives God time to work. Patient person gives God time to work. Scripture, Psalm 27 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. How about Jericho? How about Joshua at the walls of Jericho? God says to Joshua, the city's yours. Joshua's like, cool. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Let's go. And he says, well, wait a minute. I got a little plan here. I want you to get your parade together, march around the city for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, I want you to really ramp it up and do the trumpets and the shouting and everything, and the walls will come down and you'll have the city. Well, why don't we just go get it done now? I mean, really? We have to wait a week? Lord? Jehovah? Come on. 40 years we've been walking around out here. We want to get this done. So what happens? Joshua says, all right. He instructs the priests, they do their thing, the people do their thing, the guards do their thing. And of course, you know the story on that last day. The walls came a-tumbling down. Can I get a hallelujah? You guys are so polite. You're all so nice here. Amen. A patient person gives God time to work. While we wait on the Lord, that's not being foolish. That's not being slothful. It says, in the midst, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Joshua didn't sit and do nothing. Every day they followed the protocol. Every day they prepared for what they were told would be their inevitable victory. Are you and I preparing every day for the inevitable victory that we have in Jesus Christ? When we step from this life into the next, I'll tell you, it's been a trying week, but my spirit has been released today. Dear friends who are missionaries who serve up in Canada, who's the fella, Rob's dad, was one of my mentors. He's the person that really directed me into the ministry over 30 years ago. Rob's wife, Donna, is one of the sweetest ladies in the world. When their kids were little, they were visiting us, and we hosted them when they were at our church. And our kids are about the same age, a bunch of 20-somethings now. And we have pictures of them in our yard when they were all little boogers running around together. And Donna has been dealing with pancreatic cancer and is losing the battle with cancer, but she is a 100% winner in Jesus. And her family's gathered around, and we're part of their social media prayer group. And so it's been a difficult week, because even as they've posted the pictures and we've been able to see Donna's physical deterioration, her spirit in her has just overflowed. She has blessed every person that's come to visit, every person that they've ministered to there, everybody, the 700-plus people that read their blog and are on their social media site. It's a joyful time in what appears to be the most difficult and heartbreaking of times, because of her spirit, because of her patience, of her waiting on the Lord, being content with her Lord's time, being content with her Lord's plan and purpose for her life. And already the plans are being made for a living legacy based on Donna's ministry through the years that God has given her. Already, her impact is going to continue to resonate. What a tremendous testimony. And as we've sat and been choked up, as we've read some of the things and thought about and prayed for her, she's ready. Her patience has allowed her to be ready for God's timing to be completed in her life. And she's ready to step into glory. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. You know, I think of the folks back in the 1800s, the 1840s, that one of these guys decided he got a special revelation from God. Just the scripture wasn't enough for him. And he began to preach to people that he knew when Jesus was coming back. And so he convinced all his folks and all his flock to sell everything. And they all went out and sat in the field and waited for Jesus to come. Jesus didn't come, in case you hadn't read that part. So he said, well, maybe I missed it. Maybe I forgot that. Maybe it's a lunar calendar we're working off of. Maybe, is this a leap year? Let me check. So let's just come back out here tomorrow and see what happens. And Jesus didn't come back for him. And those people were patient, but they were foolishly patient. Be strong and of a good heart. Get up and do what you have to do today. But be willing to wait on the Lord for his plan to work itself out in your life. And that's really the challenge for so many of us. And, you know, one of the things I notice as I've gotten older is that I've learned to be patient with others. And as a result, I'm actually being more patient with myself. You know, before I was saved, I used to play some sports back in the day. And I took up tennis, but, you know, you talk about golf being an expensive sport. You can't break a fiberglass tennis racket every time you play and still have money in your pocket. I'm just saying, I missed a shot. That racket was over the fence. Oh, yeah. Impatient? You don't know half of it. When I was playing ball in college, I remember a practice one day, and it was just a layup drill. It wasn't even a scrimmage. It was a layup drill, a 3-on-2. And I muffed the thing, and the ball came back to me off the backboard. And just in stride, I drop-kicked that ball to the other end of the gym, and I just missed the clock. And my coach said, you don't have enough money in your scholarship to pay for that clock. Don't do that again. Yeah, terrible, impatient, angry at myself. And when I got saved, I began that process of being patient, waiting on the Lord. And so now I can see God's hand, and I can see it on the face of his watch, so to speak, and I can understand that it's not all about this life, and it's not all about what I want right now. It really is all about what he wants for eternity and my part in that. A patient person gives God time to work. You know, we think about the opposite of that when we rush things, when we push our own agenda. How about Abraham and Sarah back in Genesis 16? The heir had been promised. They said, God, you're not on time here. We're way past being able to do this. Bring on Hagar, the servant girl. Let her bear the child. Let him be the heir, and Ishmael's born. But that was not God's plan. Their impatience caused problems that still resonate in the Middle East today. Because the true heir was Isaac, and only he could be born to Sarah. God can overcome those things, but how much better if we wait on the Lord and are patient? How about the supply that God makes to us? I've experienced this. Mary and Chuck Stollard are here. Mary's our donation coordinator. If you've come in, she's the lady behind the Dutch door there, making sure everything is everything. She sorts all the donations. Everything that comes in goes through Mary, and Mary processes that and gets it out to the right people in the right time and does a tremendous job. But time and again, we get to the point where some resource, whether it's plates or cups or knives or forks or spoons or coffee or iced tea, whatever it is, and we'll go and be like, man, we're running low. And we'll be like, well, okay, what do we need? Well, this, that, or the other thing, and either she'll go or I'll go, and we'll get enough for that night, or we'll get enough for the moment. We're not ordering for the whole month. Why? Because we've seen that invariably when we do that, when we get enough, we say, okay, we're not just going to sit here and wait for something to fall out of the sky. We're going to do something. We're going to meet the need. We're going to make sure that we're able to serve that meal tonight. When we do that, as soon as we do that, the Lord provides. All of a sudden, I've got a week's worth of supplies coming in the door. Somebody walks in. Mary walked in the other day. She said, I didn't know you needed plates, but I came to the door and somebody dropped off two double packs of plates. And I said, well, that's good because I'm looking around for plates here and you're walking in the door with plates. It happens all the time. You know, it's learning to have that balance. Be strong and take heart and do what needs to be done for the day, but also trust the Lord that he'll work it out in his good time, and he will make that provision for you. Do what you need to do for today and watch God take on the rest. That's exciting to me. It's been exciting to watch as folks have been changed by the patience that others have shown toward them. Because the third point, why is patience better than impatience, and ought to be enough for all of us, is because God is patient with you and me. He's patient with you and me. I look at some of these passages that are listed here. Look at this passage, 2 Peter 3:8 and 9 in your bulletin. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 32 years he was patient with me. I'm not going to recount my salvation story. Many of you have heard it. I give God praise for it. I thank God for it. Can't imagine what I would have done for the last 32. Don't imagine I'd still be here. But God in his grace has allowed me to be here. And as I've learned to be patient, I've appreciated more and more his patience with me for those first 32. I look back on some of those characteristics that I kind of made light of throwing a tennis racket or drop kicking a basketball. There were a whole lot of other things, a lot more significant, that showed my impatience with life. Dropping out of college. Anybody here ever drop out of college? I did it twice. Same college. Yeah. Yeah. Wisdom comes with experience and age. It's not something that manifests itself normally in a 19-year-old, especially an impatient 19-year-old. Yeah, I mean, the things in my life that I look back on and God just being so gracious to allow me to go through that, but he preserved me, protected me when I wasn't even aware that he was there. Oh, I had the church background. I grew up in church, sang in the choir, wanted to be a priest, had the whole thing, and then just completely walked out on it like so many of the young people do. You know what I love about coming here? Transgenerational. I love seeing the littlest and youngest to the gray hairs, to the blue hairs. Amen. The Bible honors that. Bible says we should honor that. That's a sign of wisdom. But to have a congregation that's transgenerational is so important. And we can learn from each other. He says, God doesn't want anyone to perish, even me. And if he could wait for me, if he could save me, then understand that he's not through with you. This might be the day that God's been waiting for. This might be the day that you give up churchianity and embrace Christianity. You put Christ at the head of it all. And I guarantee you, if you've never done that, and if you do it, if you come to faith in Christ, not in his church, not in his pastor, not in his people, but in Christ alone, I might start preaching here. I don't know. I got to be careful. We got to get out of here today. There's a game on tonight. Man. 6:30's coming, brother. God's been waiting for you. I know that. He waited for me. And I'm sure we could hear testimony after testimony of how God was gracious to wait for you. And one day it clicked. One day the light came on. I got saved in my living room watching the Phillies game. And they were bad then, too. But somebody had to be there. Somebody had to be doing that work. Somebody had to be patient with me. The people that witnessed to me were patient with me. They didn't write me off because they knew God wasn't going to write me off. They knew that if they planted that seed and somebody else came along and watered it, that God is faithful to his word. And that someday, some way, somehow, whether it was my sixth grade teacher teaching us about Armageddon, public school, long time ago, whether it was my desk sergeant when I was a young rookie police officer on midnight shift when I'd bring him coffee and he'd start talking to me about the scripture. And I'd give him all that religious garbage that we give back, right? Somebody talked to me, are you saved? I'd go, oh, I go to church. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal savior? Hey, man, I'm there every week. You know, I go 2 times a week. I sing in the choir. I go on Good Friday, and I sit there all 3 hours. I mean, we had all kinds of religious stuff going on when I was a kid, and not 1 ounce of it ever penetrated the darkness of my sinful heart, not one little bit. Oh, I had pangs of conscience, but it never got from here to here. And maybe you've been living that way. Maybe you've been in church all your life, but it's never gotten from here to here. You don't need any more information. You need some transformation. Because of God's patience, you have that opportunity today. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you are a believer. But maybe your testimony is you've been walking in a little different direction. You've been walking to a different beat. You've become discouraged because things haven't worked out the way you thought they would. Maybe you're at a midlife crisis. And you're wondering, is God still there? Young lady came in just the other night, Paris Foundation. Baby stroller. It was cold out. She had the baby covered up with a blanket. She pulled it back, cute as a button, sucking on a bottle. I hadn't seen them for a while. And I was like, hey, great to see you. Good to have you here. Whatever. How's things going? She said, well, we're not going to stay. We've got a place now. You know, praise the Lord. We've got a place. We're good. She said, I just wanted to stop in and tell you I just wanted to tell you that you changed you, the Paris Foundation, you changed my life. You gave me back my faith in God. That's how important it is when Mary reaches across that door and hands somebody a blanket or some baby diapers or wipes or a sweatshirt or a pair of clean socks. You say, well, that doesn't really matter. That's just stuff. It's the heart of God that's expressed that changes people's lives, that touches them in the place that only he can touch. That's why it's such a blessing. We can't even articulate it sometimes, but that's why it's such a blessing when Bonnie and the team come down and serve, when Michael and his team on Fridays come down and serve. And you have a chance to see God working in people's lives because of that consistency. That's what the folks who do the once-a-year drive-by saints, and God bless them for wanting to come and help, but they don't really get what God's doing because they don't see the progression that people make. And it's so easy to dismiss folks who are struggling because we don't see where they've been, and we miss out because we short circuit the program, and we don't really get to see them come to that place where they move out of the woods and they move into an apartment and they get their son back and they get to be able to rent a house and they get to work and they get to start their own business and they get to come back to the Parish Foundation as a volunteer. That's God at work. That's God's patience. And that's what he's looking for from us, to be in it for the long haul. To give God time to work in our lives and in the lives of others. That none should perish. That none should perish. You and I have no idea who will turn to Christ as a result of our making ourselves available to him today. Not one of us know that, but God knows. John 10:27, Jesus told the disciples, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's his business. My job is to give people the opportunity to come to know him. And if my impatience puts somebody off, shame on me. If my being impatient with somebody that comes in every day in the same condition and doesn't appear to be making any progress and causes problems, if I lose patience with that person, I may be the one that shoves them out the door at the very moment God wants to pull them in and make them a child of his own. It's a tremendous responsibility, but it's an awesome opportunity. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. There are so many other scriptures, so many other examples. I'm sure even as we were talking today, there are other folks that and other situations in the Bible that have come to mind. The one verse that's here in the bulletin I want to close with, 1 Thessalonians 5:13 to 15. Simply live in peace with each other, it says. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. That really is the bottom line when it comes to how much better patience is to impatience. Because it allows us to learn to live in peace with each other. It allows us to take into account the shortcomings of others because we see our own lives reflected and we realize how patient God has been with us. If you come away with nothing else today, I pray that you come away with a renewed appreciation of God's infinite patience and love. Would you join me as we close with a word of prayer as our worship team comes? And as we go to prayer, I just want you to take a moment in the quietness of your own heart to think about what God has shared with you today in his word and what we've been allowed to offer to you today. Think about where you are in your walk with Christ. Is he an occasional visitor on your walk? Is he a stranger you never encounter on the path? Or is he the one that is there shoulder to shoulder walking with you day by day? Wherever you are in those scenarios, I invite you to consider the Word of God today and consider what Christ offers, acknowledging his patience and embracing his love. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We want to grab the brass ring and we want to do it the first time around. And God says, wait your turn. Friends, this invitation is for you today because your turn has come. As a believer, your turn has come. Maybe it's time to turn back into that intimacy with Christ and to set aside your own agenda and diligently seek God's will and plan for your life. You see, I've prayed And I haven't gotten an answer. Yes, you have. It just wasn't the one you wanted. Hasn't come yet. What you wanted. But what God wants for you. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's just wait. And if you're here without Christ as Savior, God has been so patient with you, but now he's giving you this opportunity to turn from your way, your own way, and turn toward him who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what the word repentance means. It means to turn from and to turn to. Turn from the past and turn toward the future. Turn from sin to salvation. Turn from hell to heaven. Stephen ministers are going to be making their way here in just a moment as the worship team sings. And they'll be here to pray with you, to pray for you. Whatever the need might be, as a believer, you have a burden, cast it at the foot of the cross. As someone who's seeking to enter into that relationship with Christ, come and be led to the throne of glory.
Would everybody please stand?
We're going to wrap this up with a song called Better Is One Day. You know, we just talked about that for a few weeks now. Just better is one day than 1,000 days without you. But, you know, I was thinking about while he was speaking up here, and I was thinking about, you know, this disconnect between our minds and our hearts, you know. And I want to start with just a chorus of, like, open the eyes, just kind of, you know, I don't want you guys to sing it. I mean, sing it to God. Just sing it, you know, open our hearts, open our eyes. So just sing along with me, but sing it to God.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart. And I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you.
One more time.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Oh, Lord.
And I want to see you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in your glory dwell. One thing I ask, and I would see,
and I would see,
to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere.
Heart bless you.
my heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Look into me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. To you.
Better is one day.
Better is one day in your course. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your course. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Amen and amen. As we go from here today, if there's something that's stirred in you, please seek out someone here at church. Find somebody to talk to pray with. Ask those questions that are on your heart. Don't let another day go without knowing for sure that you are in that relationship with Christ. Let's pray as we go from here today. May the God of peace grant you peace. May the grace that is beyond our understanding carry us through day by day until we meet again, here, there, or in the air, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
You are so overwhelming. I deal